Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And good morning. It's actually my favorite time of the week other than Shabbos. I'm realizing it's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Nicholas Ingle. I'm with you for the next hour, and I'm going to be chatting with Professor Celine Bernstein, health mentor, functional medical nutritionist in clinical practice and author of Health Seekers, and Joel Silberman, a South African living in London. Joel's probably got better weather than we do right now. We're going to be chatting understanding weight loss, something very, very important for me and I'm sure for you. When I stopped drinking, I lost over 50 kilograms in 3 years, and it was absolutely life-changing. So stay with us here on 101.9 Chai FM. Let us have your questions for our guests on the studio WhatsApp number 061-895-1019.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us on this rather nippy winter's morning in Johannesburg. It's just gone 14 minutes after 9, and it's Monday the 27th of July here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. Just before we kick off, I want to give a very special birthday wish to a very special young lady in Israel who turns 1 today. Happy birthday. You know who you are. Right, let's get started. Prof, welcome to the show. Joel, welcome to the show. Let's kick it off with a little bit of background from each of you. Joel, I'm actually going to start with you and your amazing story. Can you give us a little bit of a background and your experience with weight loss, and then we'll go to the prof.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Joel, give us 1 sec. Sorry, we didn't have you connected in. Right, we're in. Go for it. Yeah, let's hear about that sunny London again. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and from sunny London. First of all, thank you very much for having me on the show. Yeah, what can I say? I'm 51 years old. I've been living in London for the last 20 plus years, a family of four, and I've had over the last 10, 12 years, had what I would call serious weight issues, in particular. Since around COVID time, like I'm sure a lot of other people as well, it's been something that I've been grappling with, and I never thought I'd got to, I would get to where I got to, which was, in my eyes, pretty dangerous. I was a very, very, well, obese category 3, over 40 BMI. And I can't say, you know, there were different options that were put forward to me, and we can talk about them later. Mm-hmm. But I really got to a stage where I said, something's got to change. And on the back of that, I basically started this journey about 2 years ago. I can't say it's complicated. But it's been a difficult journey, but it's been something that I've, you know, had to do, both for myself and for my family. And can I just give, you know, that encouragement to others?
Absolutely fantastic. We're really looking forward to chatting to you about this and understanding your journey and unpacking it, because I don't think people understand what we can all carry a little bit of excess weight, but when it starts to get dangerous, it's impacting on your life all the time, every moment of every day, everyone around you, And it really is a drain on one's quality of life. And we're really grateful, Joel, that you are joining us today to share your story and your experience. Let's cross to the Prof, Celine Bernstein. Prof, welcome to the show. It's wonderful to be chatting with you.
Thank you. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you perfectly.
Good. Okay. No, this is very exciting for me. And I really want Joel to express his inner thoughts, the options he was given, what he decided to do. And this is well worth listening to, how important one has to have a proper mindset, ready to do what you have to do, work out, are those options worth it? Do a little bit of research and decide where you're going to start. And I think when Joel came to me, I think it was in February, mm-hmm. he'd already started on a journey. And
yeah, Prof, sorry to jump in. We want to hear about the journey, but first we're going to pay the rent. And then when we come back, I want to hear about the start of Joel's journey with you, Prof. As well, I'd like you to give our listeners a little bit of your extensive background, how long you've been involved in this and how many people you've worked with this, because I mean, your expertise are really unbelievable. We'll be back with Joel and Professor Bernstein straight after this. Stay with us here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday and you're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Engel. I'm chatting with Joel from London and Prof Bernstein. And we, just before we went to ad break, by the way, we got a thumbs up from Trevor, one of the listeners. So clearly this is resonating with him. Prof, tell us a little bit about the start of Joel's journey with you from Feb, and then a little bit of your background in the weight loss space. And I think it's really become to the forefront of people's attention over the last few years, particularly with drugs like Ozempic and so on. So tell us about the journey.
Okay, my background is that I'm a functional medical nutritionist in clinical practice. I don't only deal with weight loss, I deal with all kinds of diseases. And let me tell you, even with weight loss, I would say that diseases start in the gut. And you, Nicholas, know very well how important the workings of the gut are in relation to whatever we are experiencing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how did Joel come to you, if I can ask then?
Well, Joel was obviously recommended. He was in Joburg, and he came to see me on a Sunday. And, of course, he was going back to London. So I had to do this slowly. I had to organize a WhatsApp message thing on my phone and talk to him on a regular basis. I think the most important thing that one needs is support. Mm-hmm. You can't just be given a way of eating and say, call me if you need me. They won't bother. They might find something difficult. They'll sort it out on their own. So Joel came to me and I said to him, I'm willing to help you, but you need to answer some questions. And are you ready to lose the weight? And he said, most definitely. And I asked him what he's done and why is he coming when he's tried something that worked for him. Mm-hmm. He actually showed me an incredible book by Sanna van Kempen called The Good, The Bad, and The Healthy Foods. And he showed me that he was following this. And he did tell me that he did lose weight. But he noticed that at times it would creep up. So I started off by asking him questions about his health, etc. And I said to him, I need your commitment, my responsibility to nurture you and keep you on track. And Joel told me that he travels a lot and it's very difficult to follow a diet program. I hate the word diet. So I said, well, I'm not going to give you a program of eating now. Let's tweak what you are doing now, especially through the book you are reading. So let Joel carry on.
Fantastic, thank you. Joel, it's such a big thing, and just before we start and getting back into your journey, I want to get an understanding, if you'd be willing to share with our listeners, the impact that the weight has on one's life. And the in early weight gain, as we start to pick up weight, and this is from my own experience, we sort of, okay, fine, okay, fine, okay, fine. And then suddenly it really becomes a problem and a challenge. And then we get stuck there. And it's not fine, but it's maybe not enough to get us to move to the steps that you've taken in terms of losing the weight. And I think it's really, it comes down to we can reach a point. I mean, and I did, I was 50 kilos heavier, and it was more about health and longevity than aesthetics. And when we hit that point, that can be our strongest motivator. So if you could tell us a little bit about your journey, was there weight gain over a lifetime? What was that like for you?
As I said earlier on, I've always had issues in terms of weight, but it never got to such a stage as where it got to. I was, just carrying a fortune of weight. If I can relate it, I wasn't anywhere near fit. As Celine had mentioned, I travel quite a bit for work, and especially to South Africa. And I'll give you an example. I have the privilege to stay at very close friends of mine in Savoy and on Campbell Street. And basically, I still remember walking up that street to get on to Venova Louis Botha. I was out of breath within a couple of meters. It's not a steep road, whatever. And I felt it. I felt that it was starting to creep up slowly but surely, getting to this point. I monitored my weight and that, but it was just, I just said to myself, when is this actually going to stop? I had tried with what's called Saxenda. It's one of the GLP, the early ones. I did that for a couple of months, more than just injecting myself every day. I lost, I don't even know how many kilos, 5, 6 kilos in that. So that was it was wasn't a long thing, but I can't say I didn't try it, but it didn't have anything on me basically. And the other thing which was the real awakening was basically I was due to have bariatric surgery, and this was something I how it works in the UK is that you get referred through the National Health Service, you go through to a clinic in central London. They go through all different ways with dietitians and everything else like that. But you get onto this list, you wait for about 2 years. It's, people have to do everything to get onto that list. And I was basically, I mean, put it in scientific terms, I was chafal then. I said, I've had enough. I've now got to, this is the only option. And I prepared myself mentally as well. Got all the books that I needed to. Got a special, ordered a special plate which had the small portions, the cutlery, everything like that. My mind was set basically that I was going to have this. A few nights before I went to have my, of course, my last big meal, ate whatever I wanted then, and then I had this in my mind, and I started this build up, which was a diet for 3 weeks to called the liver shrinking diet. And This is basically two soups a day and one or two fat-free yogurts, and that was supposed to last for 3 weeks. In the middle of that, it was just the build-up to the Yom Tovim. I picked up a phone to a close friend of mine, a doctor, and I said to him, "Listen, what are your thoughts on this surgery?" And he said to me, "Listen, Joel, stay away from it if you can. There's a lot of other alternatives out there, but once you have that, that's it, basically. And you can't, you know, friends of mine said they had a handful of popcorn and they already feel full from that." And I just said to myself, this was 2 weeks before the surgery, I said, "Listen, I've got to do something about this." And I continued with this liver shrinking diet for till the end of the 3 weeks. And that started a small bit of weight loss. And I thought to myself, okay, look, I've done it for 3 weeks without having to do this. I could have stopped when I said, "Listen, I'm not having the surgery." And I decided to go from there. And that was really the real start. That awakening, you know, 2 weeks to go, this operation. And I just said to myself, I've got to give it another shot and a real shot. And I basically lost quite a bit of weight between that time and when I met Celine. But I found that, as Celine was saying, I never had any direction. The world out there is just full now with AI. Everybody's giving their own different way. This is healthy, this is not healthy. And
Particularly
that's
in the
where,
Jewish community, right? You're
correct.
one person with four opinions.
Correct. And that's where Celine basically came in. And I think with these journeys, you know, it's not, everyone's got their own journey, and whatever one's views may have on weight loss medication, that it is a journey, it is a way for certain people. I've, you know, decided to go the way that I've taken, and you know, hopefully many others will follow that as well.
It's absolutely amazing, and it's incredibly courageous of you sharing your story. And I think it's when people hear this that are struggling, and they realize that they're not alone, and they realize that it's possible. Because for myself, and just to share this before we go back to the prof, I realized that I'd gotten to a point almost where I'd given up and resigned myself to being that weight. And my blessing came from the fact that I'm an alcoholic and that I had to stop drinking. And as a byproduct of the stopping drinking, the weight started to come down. And then I realized that it actually was something that was achievable and something that I could do. For yourself, how's the journey been since you started the weight loss? Are you feeling more optimistic about the possibilities of where you can go with this? And how's it changed, or has it changed, your relationship with yourself, how you see yourself, how you feel about yourself?
I know very, very much so. I mean, I was, you know, I just, the numbers were just, every time I looked at it, I said, you know, how is it possible I can even, you know, even 10 kilos, you know? And I think, and throughout, I just said to myself, you know, let me just try, let me just, and the other thing which I added into the whole lifestyle change was basically walking, which I found, you know, a huge, huge, blessing, huge help, just in terms of one's mental health, one's health, and I think that once I was able to start doing a lot of walking, and I've been trying to since then to walk every morning, you know, for 1.5 hours to 2 hours if get the chance, and that helped me just to say, okay, well, this is something I can demonstrate that I'm actually, that the change is taking place and it is happening. And I think that's that you know was one of the most important things for me, is that, you know, other than, of course, you know, being able to fit into clothes, you know, not being as, you know, just always worrying about, you know, how much more, how much bigger, you know, not being able to walk into a shop and just, you know, now starting to be able to pick up certain things without having to go and order it from other places. I mean, these are things, and it just, it just makes one realize that, if one puts one's mind to it and one's committed and takes on the commitment, there is these big chances that things will change. And I think, as I said to you, the exercise and that becomes a bigger part, because you have that energy, you're able to do more things, you're able to sleep a lot better, you get up in the morning, you're motivated to go through the day basically, and not just, as I said, focus it, because it's something that grows with you, the weight, not on yours only the size, but the look. And I've always, when I look back, I always say, I think to myself, I was carrying, I travel, as I said, a fair amount for work and that. If I just look at the different size of the suitcases. So my first loss was hand luggage. Hand luggage, you've got up to 8 kilos, take it on with you and that. Then you go on to the next round. Then there's the 20 kilos. Then it's 22 kilos. Then the maximum is 32 kilos. And I think to myself, I was physically carrying, a full suitcase, up to now. And I think once you start to put it in and you visualize it in those terms and that, and going back and looking at what old photos, that just helps one to push one even further and go from there.
I absolutely love that analogy. For me, it was 2 24-kilogram kettlebells. So I like to remind myself, you're just carrying two of those around for 5 minutes is absolutely exhausting. It's amazing that we were able to function as well as we did. And just, I love hearing that analogy from the carry-on to the 22 to the 32 kilos. Absolutely wonderful. Joel, I want to go now back to the prof and just ask the professor, in your life experience, in your career, your practice, what has the mental impact been, the quality of life impact, and the relationship that your patients have with themselves when you see them start to lose the weight, start to be able to move better, start to be able to enjoy their bodies, Prof? What has that been like for you?
That is so heartwarming and proud of them, and knowing that they're feeling better. And funny enough, they would say, "My tummy's working better. I feel I have more energy. I sleep better. I don't get in a bad mood or irritable. I found that by eating correctly with your guidance, I'm not craving all the food." A lot of people will be working during the day and they'll just have a couple of obviously drink the coffee, etc., and then they'll go to the canteen and take something, and that's all. And in the night they are ravenous. So I actually told Joel, "Let's start slowly. Rome wasn't built in a day. Please, Hashem, by Rosh Hashanah, you'll be down much more." And funny enough, it was during Pesach. He came to me before Pesach, and we managed, and he managed, and he kept asking me questions, and I responded. It was my responsibility, and promise that I made to him that I will look after him. And you've got to start slowly. So what did I do? I just tweaked what he was eating. And I said, "One thing I want from you is first tell me what time you finish supper." And he told me, I said, "Right, all I want is a 12-hour fast as well. And that's the time while you're sleeping. So make the commitment. If you finish at 7, 7:30, you can only eat the next morning at 7:30." And I think you managed, Joel, with those initial instructions.
Yeah, I think the night time I found was also a big, big challenge. And, I was also with the long work hours and all that, to manage your meal times and that. But the evening, I was always going back to the kitchen, getting something. In my mind, it's only something small. It's this and that, and the intermittent fasting has really also made a huge difference.
Joel, that's so
Definitely.
Important, and I want to touch on that as soon as we're back from paying the rent. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show. We're chatting with Professor Celine Bernstein, a health mentor and functional medical nutritionist in clinical practice, as well as Joel, who is joining us from London, talking weight loss. And Joel is being very kind and sharing his weight loss journey. And I know for someone who's lived with this myself, Joel, that you are inspiring listeners, and switches are being flipped in the head. And this today is going to make a difference in people's lives and give them the opportunity to make the move they've been needing to make. Are you looking to reach an engaged, loyal audience? There's no better place to do it than right here on Chai FM. Our listeners tune in every day for music, conversation, and the news they can trust.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's the Disco Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Nicholas Single, and I'm chatting with Celine Bernstein, professor, health mentor, functional medical nutritionist, and Joel from London, who is sharing his journey in weight loss with us. Joel, I'm going to start with you and then go to the prof. Something that's so important, and I know it's such a struggle, because when whether it's boredom or, you know, just the need to do something, or genuinely feeling peckish, or perhaps we even dehydrated, going to the fridge and noshing is something that can be a real struggle. There's a wonderful old joke that says why Jewish men lose more weight than their wives, because a Jewish man looks in the fridge, sees nothing, and goes to the bedroom to sleep. A Jewish wife goes to the bedroom, sees nothing she likes, and goes to the fridge. So these challenges are real. Joel, how big a challenge was it? And I think it's so important to share this, because it's not a weakness of character. It's not a weakness of strength or desire to lose weight. But these are real challenges, sometimes physiological, sometimes emotional, that we're dealing with in terms of weight loss. What were those evenings like? And particularly if you're working late and you're getting hungry, and just that challenge of now sticking with the 12-hour fast.
I think it made me just, you know, focus and manage myself a lot better than before. Because, you know, going to the fridge at night, it kind of, I got to a stage even where I had to actually ask myself, what do I actually want to eat? I was so used to going to that cupboard, to the fridge, and saying to myself, do I really want it? Do I need it? That type of thing. But I would just end up eating, because it's quick, it's satisfying, it's, you know, it's in most cases, in my case, was what we call the processed junk food anyway. It's the snack, you know, which basically fulfills one in a certain way, but it doesn't add to anything. But it was something that it was built in me that's what I did, basically. It didn't matter, it was 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, it was, you know, part of me now. Whereas now I just got to make sure, and I do this as often as I can, most times basically, where I look at suddenly, like anything past 7 o'clock already, I'm saying to myself, hold on, this is going to be around eating only around 10:30, 11 o'clock the next morning. So it's made me kind of say, okay, listen, the cutoff now is around 6:37, right? I'm still able to have tea and drink, whatever, that type of thing, water. So, you know, and then the next morning, by the time I've finished walking and take my son to school, then off to work, and that, I've already into those hours where I would have done, say, a minimum of 12. And most times anything around, you know, 14 to 16 hours.
Sure.
It's difficult, obviously, on the Shabbat, especially this part of the world where, you know, you're only eating at 9 o'clock at night, finishing off later. the kiddush and then, in the morning anyway, that kind of helps if it's by the time you start eating, it's around midday and that. And even then, I push it out till after lunch, but it is something that you have to. It's a slow process, and starting off with something like the 12 hours is the way to go, because you're sleeping for a big chunk of that. But what it did was it basically put the lock on at night and say, listen, there's no noshing at night. And I think that's a huge step.
It's so important, and on so many levels, because the food you're describing, and I want to get the prof's thoughts on this as well. The food that you're describing, the junk food in essence, is engineered at specific satiation points of sugar, salt, and fat for us to eat and keep eating, turning off our brain's off switch. And it is that momentary hit of satisfaction. But what were those conversations like with yourself after you had done that and the satisfaction had worn off? How did that affect your relationship with yourself? And how is it now that you're managing the 12 hours?
I think as part of my, part of what Professor Bernstein and I was building up towards, that was to move away from, a lot of the like processed food and sugar, and that became like a, let's say, fixation. But I look at a product, and if I see sugar, then I kind of looked, okay, well, is there another alternative? And I think that in itself, it kind of switched from something which, was satisfying to saying, okay, well, there has to be something similar with as a better alternative. And that was part of the book that the professor had mentioned as well, is that moving away from ultra processed foods and finding ones which can help one and fill one, basically. So it's kind of a lot of the protein, avocados, I eat, that time. And so once, you feel full, and you can move on from there, and at the same time, you're kind of saying to yourself, okay, the stuff which are, of course, we all enjoy it, and there's going to be those occasions where I do have them, and that there's no two ways about it, but they've become occasions for me. So if I know that I'm going to go to somewhere, to a braai and all that, and like I did last night, whatever, and then I will plan in my mind to say, okay, well, listen, early on in the day I'll have a bit less and that type of thing. But it hasn't got to a stage where I'm saying, okay, well, I'm completely deprived, and I think that's the big thing, because a lot of the diets come across as, you have to restrict yourself. And yes, of course, at the beginning it was like that, but it's, for me, it's not about, the counting the calories and looking for, alternatives which are what, whether fat free or sugar alternative, sugar alternatives and that, but rather just being full, being satisfied, and avoiding certain things. And if we do take them, then it becomes an occasion as opposed to a regular thing.
Yeah, I absolutely love this. And what I'm hearing, and we're just going to go pay the rent. When I come back, I want to chat, or when we come back, so it's not just me. When we come back, we're going to chat with the prof. But Joel, what I'm hearing from you is it's not about depriving yourself, it's about taking back control. And that control over what you're eating, and control over your health and your body. And that message is coming through so well. And really, you've articulated this incredibly well. Thank you. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 High FM. I'm Nicholas Singel, and we'll be back with you right after this.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
I see we're running out of time here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show. It's always this time of the show I think about doing what old Tony Blewett did during the 95 World Cup, when James Dalton got sent off and he locked himself in the studio until they brought him back onto the team, or then he was dropped from the team. But Prof, before we wrap up, very quickly, your thoughts on food and nutrition and diet. What advice do you have for our listeners? And then we're going to go to Joel for his wrap-up thoughts and wrap up this wonderful show.
Okay. First thing is read labels. To me, that is very, very important. They might add a few healthy labels in, but look at the first ingredient. That's most important. That is what is highest.
Because the label is in order of volume, correct?
Absolutely. And then I removed certain oils from the diet. No canola, no sunflower, no grape seed, etc. And I gave him alternatives. Next thing, low fat is out. It contains sugar. Rather go for full fat. That is very, very important. And avos are outstanding. A couple of nuts or a nut butter. Olive oil you can use over your salad. You can go for coconut oil or macadamia oil, avocado oil to fry things in. I've got to say, it's not what you do now and again. And that I'm talking about Shabbos. When I see people at the brocha, they say, Celine, don't look what I'm eating. I said, no, you're entitled to eat. But the most important thing is what do you do on a daily basis? And
I
as
love
Joel
it.
said, he does indulge at times. A
Absolutely.
little hint,
Yes.
brush your teeth after you've eaten. And even if it's three times a day, and you'll find that you've got a better taste in your mouth, and you actually have forgotten about that craving that you wanted.
Absolutely
And more.
fantastic.
And as you said, you are in charge. Each person is in charge. Look at the table at the brocha and see what you can eat of it. Don't overindulge. Food is going to be around forever. So
Absolutely.
that's the
Thank you,
main
Prof. And
thing.
I think I just have to sort of cut you a little bit short there. Just to Joel, your thoughts just before we wrap up. We've got some wonderful messages as well from our guest. We have Anne Bress just saying, loving the interview. She's not overweight. No, she's certainly not. But the topic is interesting. And Professor Celine Bernstein is truly amazing, knows what she's talking about, so knowledgeable. And from DK Joel for you, congrats, Joel, for finding your direction and continuing to reach your goals. Just before we wrap up, Joel, your thoughts. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
I think it's all in my eyes, it's not about how you get to it. It's about giving that commitment at the beginning and continue with what continue basically, not looking at it as something as restricting oneself. Look for those alternatives. And it's all also about being patient. Anything that's going to be a rapid loss in a quick period of time is ultimately won't end up working in the long term. I've been, this has taken me just over or close to 2 years. Again, as I said in the beginning, did I ever think I would get to this? Most certainly not. And if I did, if I would have got to it, I would have been through an alternative method, which again works for many people. But at the end of the day, if one can take the path that I've taken and have the patience, find those alternatives, bring exercise into part of your daily routine, and I think on the back, and as I said, ultimately it'll take a bit of time, but you'll start, once you start to see the weight loss, the first 10, then 20, et cetera, that'll be the key motivator. And it's at the end of the day, a change for one's lifetime as opposed to just a quick fix.
Absolutely love that. You're not, Joel, to use a typical South African expression for Joburg boys, you're not dieting or cutting weight to look good on Clifton Beach. This is for quality of life for your grandkids. This is not about December. This is quality of life. Joel, thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey with us. Prof, always
Thank you.
wonderful to have you. Thanks, Joel. And Professor Celine Bernstein, thank you again for joining us. And to you, our wonderful listeners, we do this for you. Thank you for joining us. And I will speak with you next week. You're listening to, or have been listening to, the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. I'm Nicholas Ingle. Chat with you next week. Thank you, Craig.